ब्राह्मी भगवान माई मंदिर की जाए, सन्यासी वृंद की जाए, सेवा वृंद की जाए, स्वामी भक्त वृंद की जाए, मिठाई गौ फेमनंदे। Any questions from anyone on anything?
Just take the liberty.
Could you speak a little something about Navadvip Dham and the kind of like what Gurudev was speaking about today about the transcendental vision of consciousness?
एक ग्लास जाओ
भालो जल ने को
हाँ
बंग देव
हाँ So, as Srila Gurudev is indicating, and it's mentioned in the beginning of Srimad Bhagavatam, we're approaching reality. Vastava Vastu, Shivadam Thapatayam Mulanam, Srimad Bhagavate, Mahamunikute, Kimba Parar Ishara, सद्यो हृद्या वरुदते तु पृथ्वी सुषुभि तक्षण दाम प्रोजित कैत बहुत परम निर्मत सरणाम तथा सो अ साइंटिस्ट वुड नॉट अंडरस्टैंड दैट अ प्रीरेक्विजिट for understanding or properly assessing reality would be to be non-envious. That would be unfathomable. It just wouldn't compute in their mindset. Why, that would be a requirement to understand reality. Whereas they go so far as to say that anyone who believes in God cannot be a scientist proper. There are those who have that opinion, not all, but the hardcore section. But we're told in the beginning of the Bhagavatam that if we're to have a proper estimation of reality, vastava vastu, this divine substance, then nirmatsaranam satam will be a prerequisite. Non-enviousness of the devotees, not only in a negative sense, but I mean appreciation. Because if we're to properly conceive reality substantially, it will come through the medium or the agency of the devotee. Even Guru Rupa Harim Gauram Radha Ruchi Ruchavritam Nityam Nomi Navadipe Nama Nartana Kirtanai. When Krishna is in his guru role as Acharya, when he is teaching, Guru Rupa Harim is who? Gauram Mahaprabhu Gauranga Sundar. Radha Ruchi Ruchavritam is when he is enriched with the supreme devotional mood of Srimati Radharani Mahabhav, the ultimate feeling to the ultimate, the limits of its expression, love, divine. Then Svabhaktevyam Shudham Ijabhajana Mudram Upadisham, he can show uh, what is the supreme reality and how to make our approach. So, that plane, Vrindavan, very mysterious. So it's the only accessible by the highest section of liberated souls. And it appears to be limited. A prakriti. It appears like the mundane. What is mundane? Maya, miyate, anaya. What you can measure. What is measurable and verifiable and all of these things. So, it's told Vrindavan is 16 kroshas and its dimensions. Now that means Krosha, we're told, is roughly 2 miles. So we're being told that the ultimate reality, the ultimate plane from which everything has sprung out, is 32 square miles. And we'll say, well, wait, no, this world is bigger than that. The earth is bigger than this. Where the state I'm in at present is bigger than that. The country, the earth, the solar, they're all bigger than, and they're saying, yes, those, what you can conceive of as being infinite, in not only this universe, innumerable universes, they're all but an atomic particle in this plane, this aprakriti plane, that appears to be 32 square miles. In size. Why? You mentioned the other day, Advaita Gyan. There's only one substance, Krishna. But one thing is, if someone can bring a glass of water. Vedanti tat tatviras tatvam gajyanam advayam. There's only one thing, Krishna. But that Krishna has different dimensions, different aspects, his energies, expansions. What is that Krishna? So the extremes of the infinite are come to us. We're more comfortable in hearing expressions of the extremes of the infinite, that God is greater than the greatest, the all-accommodating Brahma, Paramatma, all permeating within everything, smaller than the smallest. But the central conception of the infinite is one of mystery and is in beyond human comprehension. Krishna Rajateka Kela Sarvatam Naralila Naravaputahara Sarup Gopabesh Benukar Navakishore Natabar Naralila Hoy Anurup. His human-like pastimes. The human-like plane, the human-like dimension. This is the central conception of the infinite. Right? From which everything is springing. Janma yasya yatonvayat itaratascha arteshu abhigyasvarat. Janma adi yasya yatam. Vishwanath Chakrabarti Thakur is saying, here is a disguised reference to Madhura Rasa. Everything is springing out of the plane of Madhura Rasa. What is that ultimately? Vrindavan. Anyara Hridoyaman Moroman Vrindavan. Mysteriously, Srimati Radharani is telling that there's no difference between her heart and Vrindavan. Vrindavan is her heart. Radha, Padman, Sitadam, Vrindavan, Dharma. It's that plane, that soil, that's enriched with dedication to the supreme degree. When Achyutananda was here, and with Srila Prabhupada, Srila Swami Maharaj. I'm saying, Didi, if you want to take Krishna Nam, then you can take Krishna Nam. This is not the time for that.
I was just trying to relax.
I'm saying then you can do that in another place. But here we're trying to say something in favor of Krishna conception.
I was just going to be chanting for a while.
So, as you wish. So, Achyutananda, once Srila Guru Maharaj asked him, he said, how is it that all of the sweetness, the opulence of Vaikuntha can be accommodated in an atom of Goloka? Remember, Vaikuntha means the world without measurement. It's immeasurable. Just as there are innumerable material universes, there are also innumerable Vaikuntha planets. So Guru Maharaj said, how is it that the infinite Vaikuntha world can be accommodated in an atom of Goloka? And Goloka, Sarasvati Thakur said, a solid circle, right? Not just a circle, but a solid circle. A line is an infinite number of points make a line. An infinite number of lines make a plane. An infinite number of planes make a solid. An infinity of planes of dedication make up this Goloka, which is 16 crores, 32 square miles. And in the atom of that is accommodated the infinite Vaikuntha world. How is this possible? So Achyutananda, he's very sharp. He immediately said, oh, like an apple tree and an apple seed? And Guru Maharaj said, beautiful, but wrong. And he said, Kaviraj Goswami, he's given the appropriate analogy by which we can conceive this. That just as you take here, like right now we're getting sweets with gur. Now this is Gouda Desh. Gouda, by extrapolation, means gur, sweetness, the land of sweetness, ultimate concentrated sweetness. So here are the sugar cane. You'll see sometimes they have the wheel and they're putting in the sugar cane and you won't be able to resist taking that. Very nightly squeeze a little lemon, lime. Anyway, from that sugar cane juice, we get a vat of sweetness. Right? We can say a vast vat of sweetness. Of sweetness. And then if we cook that and start refining it and concentrating it, it goes from sugarcane juice to molasses. Then if we further refine it and condense and concentrate it, it becomes gur. And further refinement, condensing, concentration, compression, it becomes sugar, as you know, conventional sugar, we can say, what we think of granulated sugar. And if we take it to its most intense level of concentrated sweetness, it's as rock candy. Like here they have Dulal's palm candy. let's see, of rock. And in that one rock of candy, sugar candy, is concentrated all this vast sweetness. Right? So Srila Kaviraj Goswami saying, if you apply this sort of the parallel to rasa, you will find that the vast shanta rasa, enriched, refined with dasya rasa, sakya rasa, vatsalya rasa, madhura rasa, that in the domain of madhura rasa, Vrindavanam Svapara Ramanam Pravisha Gita Kirti, in that plane, in that soil, you can accommodate all the sweetness, all the opulence of Vaikuntha is there, and you can say all that opulence with the element of sweetness is to be found there. As when in the Hara Panchami, Mahaprabhu is 5 days after the Rath Yatra, Lakshmi Devi figures it out that under the cover of going to Vrindavan with his brother and sister, Krishna's gone to see his childhood sweetheart and their village, his hometown. And so she realized she's been duped, and she comes in a mood of jealous anger, with on a throne decked out, dressed to the nines, and all her, she's Lakshmi Devi, she has unlimited opulence, and with so many attendants and servants and a grand procession, she comes at the Gundicha, which represents the Navan, demanding to see her husband. And you know, her attendants are beating the attendants of Jagannath, hurling abuses at them, and they're saying Krishna will soon be coming. But at that time, Mahaprabhu and his associates, they're observing this. Srivas Thakur knows that there are certain ways to bring out the substance that is within the higher devotees. Sometimes that comes by someone extolling the virtues of a lower conception. So Srivas Thakur starts to tease Swarup Damodar. He's saying, oh, just see the opulence of the goddess of fortune, unparalleled. She is Lakshmi Devi, the consort of Narayan. She presides over the unlimited Vaikuntha world. Here she is, bedecked with so many jewels and gems in such an opulent setting. What can compare with that? And that Vrindavan, what is that place? A rural setting, predominated, sometimes Guru has said, by the half-civilized jungle girls, the Braja Gopis. What are they doing? They're milking cows. They're with that butter, you know, making some sweets. They're, you know, it's a nice place. Trees, cows. But nothing in comparison to the opulence of Vaikuntha. And Mahaprabhu tells, oh, Srivas, be careful what you say in front of Srup Damodar. He said, he is a Shuddha Brijbasi. He said, opulence, as you can, this is not a word in his dictionary. And Srup Damodar said, no, it's not that I don't understand what is opulence, but I think Srivas has lost his mind. Maybe some temporary insanity? Because, said, have you forgotten the opulence of Vrindavan and the central conception of the infinite, that human-like plane, It's only 32 square miles, apparently. All the opulence is suppressed there. And he quotes the Karnamritam of Bilbo Mangal Thakur, where he says, Chintamanishcharana Bhushana Manganam Shringara Pushpa Tarabha Suranam Vrindavanam Brajadanam Nanukama Denu Vrindani Cheti Sukhasindur Aho Vibhuti. Aho Vibhuti. What? How opulent is it? This is that plane, remember, we described all of Vaikuntha, Dwaraka, the opulence of all those planes is and accommodated and a particle there. Out of that soil, Chintamani Prakata Sadmushu springs the Chintamani gem. Right? Spiritually conscious, wish-fulfilling gem. These Chintamani gems, he says, Chintamani Charana Bhushanam Angananam. The anklets on the lotus feet of the Braja Gopis, they're made out of Chintamani gems. So these half-civilized jungle girls, one anklet on their lotus feet has more opulence than all of Vaikuntha and Dwaraka put together. Chintamani, Charana, Bhushana, Mangana, they use that as an ornament. It is not significant, another way we can take it. What is the nature of that plane? Everything is consciousness. Everything, you know, even the material world. 14 planetary systems means 14 levels of consciousness going from gross to subtle. And that's just the mundane world. Crossing over into Braja, Vaikuntha, Ayodhya, Dwaraka, Mathura, Vrindavan. So what is that plane? Sringara Pushpa Taravat Taravat Suranam. And the trees, Kalpa Vriksha, they're desire fulfilling trees. It looks like a rural setting. And we see someone who's a king who has opulence. What is their preference? Is some nice lake, flowers. Those who have wealth, they're aspiring for that simplicity. The common people, they're enamored by an ostentatious display of luxury and boast of heraldry, pomp of power, etc. But those who have all those things, they're always buying some remote place where there's a pond and a lake and flowers, gardens, and things like this. Rajadhanam Nanakamudenu. And the cows, you say, it appears they're herding cows. They're cowherds, cowgirls, cowboys and cowgirls. But those cows are Surabhi. They are wish-fulfilling cows. They can deliver unparalleled opulence. So, and they're making flowers. Those flowers, they're all spiritually conscious. And what is the nature of that plane? They're told then, you know, barha pidam natabara bapukani okani karam bibrad basa kanaka kapi sambhai jayantim chamalam randran vain urdhaya sudhaya puriam gopa brinde brindaranyam swapada ramanam pravishad gita kirti. It's all saturated with the sweetness of madhura rasa. So that Krishna, who's, what is he doing? Sometimes peacocks approach Krishna and ask him to play his flute, he plays his flute, they start dancing. And they're so happy afterwards, they're offering him peacock feathers, and he, that one looks good. He's wearing a peacock feather on his head. Who has everything. Everything's come from him, being maintained by him, ultimately enters in him. He has everything. He's thinking, this peacock feather, that would be nice. one peacock feather on his head is placed as an ornament. Barhapidam, Natabara Bapu kind. And he appears like some sort of entertainer, dramatic performer, has that kind of magnetism, Akarshan Krishna. Vibhasa, Kanaka Kavi Sambhaita, and what is, and wearing flowers that have been collected from the forest of Vrindavan. Again, it's all suppressed. It's deceptively simple. If that plane is super enriched consciousness of dedication, then even a flower that springs out of that soil must be highly qualified. When the bees who sing, hum there, hum hymns, they're extraordinarily qualified beings to become bee, grass, flower, tree, anything in that environment. So those flowers he's happily wearing and putting some behind his ear. Bibrat Basa, Kanaka Vajayanti, Randram Benu Adhaya, Benu Adhaya Sudhaya Puraya. That Adhara, Randram Benu Adhara Sudhaya. That, and streaming from Krishna's lips, there's a stream of nectar that enters the holes of the flute. The flute is also a person shivering in ecstasy, and that nectarine stream is entering the environment and creating a shower of nectar. And everyone there, they're very happy to be in that nectarine mist. Vrindaranyam Sapada Ramanam Pravisha Gita Kirti. This is what is beheld out of the eyes of the Braja Gopis as Krishna and the cowherd boys enter the forest, playing their flutes and dancing. And Krishna's lotus feet are touching the earth, and the earth, she's shivering in ecstasy of Madhura Rasa. So she's ostensibly Shanta Rasa, but it's Goloka, enriched with this sweetness. She's also having this experience. So that plane Vedeshu Adulabam Adulabam Atma Bhakto. It is incomprehensible. Even the Vedas can only hint at its direction. When they themselves later became Brajagopis and participated in the Rasali on that thing, they were ashamed at their previous attempts at glorification. That they themselves were astonished to know that such prospects, such possibility of divine play. Vedanta ste shanta kshiti virla chati chara katipaye. Brahma Sangyata concludes that very few souls may penetrate that domain. So as Srila Guru Maharaj said, Vrindavan Krishna Lilamrita Sartar Shata Shatadar is only accessible by the highest section of liberated souls. Otherwise, we can take it, it is inaccessible. Only accessible by the highest, not just liberated souls, the highest section of liberated souls. Then, what is our prospect, our possibility? Yata yata gaura padara vinde vindeta bhaktim krita punirasi tata tato sarputi hridya kasmat radha padam bodhu sudamburasi. The entrance to that plane, the entrance to Krishna Leela is in Gaura Leela. The entrance to Vrindavan is in Navadvipa. Srila Guru Maharaj said. Why? Because Mahaprabhu, he's Radha Ruchi Ruchavritam. Radha Govinda Milita Tanu, Radha and Govinda combined. Through serving the lotus feet of Mahaprabhu, by making our approach to Navadvipam, entrance to Vrindavan is guaranteed. So Srila Guru Maharaj said, every atom of Navadvip is capable of giving Vrindavan. Gaura, Mandalabhumi, Jeva, Chintamani Mani. So, we seek our fortune in Navadviptam under the guidance of our Guru Varga and Nityananda Prabhu. Heno Nitai Vinay Bhai, Radha Krishna Paite Nai. As Srila Gurudev said, Guru Maharaj, everyone knows he is Rupa Goswami's man, but he was always thinking, Dial Nitai, Dial Nitai, Dial Nitai. Praying for the mercy of Nityananda Prabhu. Because Nitai Koruna Habe Braje Radha Krishna Habe. Without the mercy of Nityananda Prabhu, it's not possible to enter that plane. And where is flooded with the mercy of Nityananda Prabhu? Navadvip Dham. So here we're, and especially in the aparad buns in our pot, we're rightly situated. Bhuti Yoga means seva. Mukunda seva. Mukunda seva. That intelligence that compels one to serve and to serve rightly. Dhi, Bhuti, that intelligence. Guru Maharaj is saying, not abstract thinking, but service. That sort of buddhi, when we use our intelligence to discern service proper, we can take that as buddhi yoga. The dami buddhi yogam tam yena mam upayanti te. So where does that come? Krishna. Radha, Guru. In association with substantial Vaishnavas, our discerning faculty improves. Sadhu Sangha Sato Bore. Superior association will enrich one with discerning faculty, the ability to recognize what is desirable, what is undesirable, what is superior, what is inferior. Any other question?
Well, or is that another class?
I think that's another class. A class that I'm not qualified to be a member of.
It was really beautiful, right?
Yes, no, the poetry of Jayadeva is so much appreciated by Mahabhu, yes?
It wasn't a question, Raj, but when you were talking about how the king, the king likes the lakes and the flowers, it just reminded me of, and you may have even been there when once Gurudev was asked about his new chair, somebody had given him a new chair, and they were saying, "Oh, where's your new chair?" Gumraj, and he's saying, "What chair?" And they're explaining, "The new chair's been given to you, and there's some, maybe the chair with the bright coloured cover on." And he's in the same way, says, "Oh, that's for show, that is for the people, I like plain, simple things."
Yeah.
That just reminded me when you were talking.
Yes. But as we say, it's deceptively simple. So, and it's not that it's just foolish people who are deceived. Abhijananti maham mudha manushintanam asidam. But even, you know, muhyanti yatsuraya, the devas, they're bewildered. So we have to accept Krishna is incomprehensible, Krishna Leela is beyond human comprehension, the name of all of these things, it's okay. It's just when Sripad Guru Maharaj asked that question about, you know, we're told, sarva karana karanam, he's the cause of all causes, yet he is causeless. That's incomprehensible. That is what is called adhoksaja. That's one of Krishna's names. So Guru Maharaj said, if everything can be brought within our understanding, then we'll have to delete this name Adhoksaja from the list of names of Krishna. But one of his names is, we can say, one of his names is incomprehensible. You know, Mr. Incomprehensible. Okay, Mr. Incomprehensible. It's time to be breastfed. Mother Yasoda.
Maharaj, in the Golden Volcano, and maybe also in Sri Guru and His Grace, Maharaj says, in order to get the grace of Nityananda, we must study the character of Gauranga, of Mahaprabhu, and develop special attraction or attachment to His holy Dharma and to His devotees. What does that mean, to study the character of Gauranga?
It means, really, to say that if we will, like this mat, this is Chaitanya Sarasvat mat, what is its principal activity? Gauragata Grananti. Promoting Mahaprabhu's Krishna conception. So, he means to tell us, if we will become acquainted with Mahaprabhu and embrace the lotus feet of Mahaprabhu and promote the conception of Mahaprabhu to others, then Nityananda Prabhu must be merciful to you. You'll get the full mercy of Nityananda Prabhu by Bhaja Gauranga, Kaha Gauranga, Laha Gauranga Nam. Everything Mahaprabhu. Worshipping Mahaprabhu, always talking about Mahaprabhu and his conception, taking the name of Mahaprabhu, that is irresistible. Nityananda Prabhu is irresistibly drawn toward that person who's promoting the glories of Mahaprabhu and will give his mercy to them. And thereby they become enabled for higher service. People are asking you that question.
Yeah, they're like, what are the Vedas?
Like kids down at the mall are going like, what are the Vedas? What we need to understand is that we may not be able to know or verify the existence of God, but God can make himself known to us. That's called the culture of faith. Just for some skeptic to say, you can't prove this, you can't prove that, we can say, okay, that's true. To you. Like, I can't prove that someone is beautiful, that a joke is funny, or this tastes good. These are all subjective things. Really, subjective things cannot be proved. You cannot prove that something is a work of art, or that a woman is beautiful. Recently they're telling Aishwarya Rai is the most beautiful woman in the world. Right? But we can all see her and go, oh. Then you either get it or you don't. Okay? She's a famous film star. And they had her on 60 Minutes in America, and with the heading, most beautiful woman in the world. Arguably. But that's her claim to fame. So my point is, you cannot prove that. It's a subjective thing. Beauty. Humor. What one person finds hilarious, someone else thinks is offensive. Right. Taste. It's a matter of taste. High taste. Lowbrow. Kitsch. I mean, camp. So there are scholars who sit around debating these things. So we can concede, yes, to you, by your standards, it may not be provable. There are connoisseurs in the plane of consciousness who are extracting jewels from that plane, and there's a systematic presentation and approach to this reality, and it comes in the form of revealed truth. So there's revealed truth, and it comes in the form of the scriptures and saints who are living scriptures. What is the saint? Someone who shows us the relevance of revealed truth. Right? Shows us how it's relevant in our life. So, that's all. As Guru Mahārāj says in Search for Śrī Kṛṣṇa, what all these scriptures are telling, that would be the Vedas, the Bible, the Quran, the Torah, etc., is it all a hoax? It's just an elaborate hoax. There's no truth there. There's no substance there in any one of these systems. If you really think that in your heart of hearts, there's nothing there. Even the God concept, if you take that this is some sort of human projection, well, my, it's one hell of a projection. No one's come up with a more riveting idea since the beginning of time. Right? This God concept. It's the big one. Right? So, infinite can make himself known to the finite. Yes, he's beyond what we can perceive. But he can make himself known to us. The belief that that's a possibility, that God can reveal himself to you, the belief, that possibility, that it's possible, that's called faith. And for those who it's beyond just a possibility, but they believe it substantially, they're superiorly evolved in the culture of faith. And we seek their association. They see what is invisible. Well, how is that possible? Well, you know, every day we go through the airport, all of us came here, went to the airport, and our baggage was scanned. Why? Because they need to see beneath the surface what's the inner thing. So they have an X-ray of this ray, of that ray, of MRI, whatever, CRI, whatever kind of some system by looking beneath the surface to see if there's something there, some inner thing that's not visible to the eye or the mind or human comprehension. So through the aid of that, we have a glimpse beneath the surface. So through the culture of faith, under the guidance of substantial realized souls, we can have a glimpse of what is beyond our standard perceptions. So Vedas have to deal with revealed truth. They're not, even though there may be human agents, still what is revealed, the substance is divine. Like I've pointed out also with regard to Bhagavad Gita, I find it interesting to note, this book is studied east and west and north and south by secular and religious alike. Right? And no one questions the method of transmission. Dhritarashtra asked Sanjaya to describe to him what's taking place. Sanjaya is not on the battlefield of Kurukshetra in the middle of millions of soldiers on both sides, armies, Senayor, Ubayor, Madhye, Stapai, Api, Stapani, Api, Achyuta. He says, Arjuna tells Krishna, stop my chariot between the two armies. That's where they're positioned, and this conversation takes place. And Sanjaya says, Vyasa Prashada Shrutavan, by the mercy of Vyasa, I heard this divine conversation. Now, from a purely empiric point, they can just say, well, how do we know that that's what they... He wasn't even there. But the substance of Bhagavad Gita is such, it's so substantial, from whatever perspective, it's so substantial that people do not even question the method of transmission. It's irrelevant. His presence or lack of presence there is irrelevant. The substance is here, the method of transmission, dismissed. Because it's so overwhelming what's given. So, that is the culture of faith. When we come in connection with something that is not only superior to ourselves, but infinitely superior, when we have a touch with that flame, then yamlabham yamlabdva chapram labham manyate nadikamtata. We'll think, oh, there's nothing better than this, there's nothing greater than this, I'm happy. Yeah.
And, you know, I try to say something about guru, and then they're like, well, how do you know he's a guru? He's just a man. I don't want
to... How do you know your teacher when you go to school? And they go, this class, you walk in, it's biology 101. How do you know that person's a biology teacher? It's a lot of assumption there, right? But because it's a school, and that school has, let's just say they're accredited, so they've been certified that they're teaching something substantial, you get credits from attending their classes, and they have some criteria for faculty selection, and then that person's been selected to represent them on this subject. So the students go there, and although ostensibly they haven't examined that person's credentials, you know, they may look in the catalog and it says Professor so-and-so did his graduate work at this university and postgraduate here, but most students don't even do that. They just go to the class and they're taught. This is the teacher, and they start hearing from them on that subject. So there's a system. It's called parampara. There's a system. A guru parampara. A line of gurus, right, who are authorized to interpret, teach Veda. Right? So there's a way to verify authenticity, credentials. Sampradaya vihina ye mantra ste nishpalamata. If the mantram you get, we're told, in fact, if you get the mantram, but it's not sanctioned by the sampradaya, then it won't be effective, right? Unaccredited. So there's a system. So, just as they have a system, there's also a system. Guru means teacher. It means other things, but it means teacher. So what's the problem? They have a system to credential and authenticate someone's teaching capacity. We have a system. No question.
Só diz pra ele que eu queria fazer, mas tu não consegue fazer em inglês.
Oh?
Okay.
Okay. Okay. Sure. What time is it? It must be time. Pardon me?
About 5 after 8.
Okay. Jai Om Vishnu Pad Paramahansa Paribhajaka Acharya Sarasvati Sri Srimachala Bhakti Sanna Govinda Dev Goswami Maharaj Ki Jai Bhakti Bhakti Sridhar Dev Goswami Maharaj Ki Jai Sri Guru Maharaj Viraha Melan Samadhi Mandir Ki Jai Nitai Go Premanande Hari Harai Nama Krishna Yadavaya Nama Hari Harai Nama Krishna Yadavaya Namaha.
Yadavaya Namaha Krishna. Yadavaya Namaha.
Yadavaya Madhavaya Keshavaya Namaha.
Yadavaya Madhavaya Keshavaya Namaha.
Gopal Govindaram Ki Madhusudan. Radhika Charja Sutarasa Shri Srimad Srila Bhakti Sundar Govinda Dev Goswami Maharaj Ki Srila Bhakti Rakak Sridhar Dev Goswami Maharaj Ki Jai Bhagavan Srila Bhakti Siddhanta Sarasvati Thakur Ki Jai Jai Sipatikar Sri Sri Guru Gauranga Gandharva Govinda Sundar Diyu Ki Jai Srila Guru Mar Samadhi Mandir Ki Jai Ganga Devi Jamuna Devi Bhakti Devi Tulsi Devi Ki Jai Sri Chaitanya Sarasvati Mat Ki Jai Seva Jom Vishnu Pad Vishwa Varenya Sulaisi Bhakti Vidanta Shami Prabhupada Ki Jai Sanyasi Vrinda Ki Jai Seva Vrinda Ki Jai Samabheda Bhakta Vrinda Ki Jai Nithai Go Premanande Ki Jai
Jai
and tomorrow is Ekadashi. And in the temple, they don't supply